Well, growing up in Wisconsin, we still certainly knew about the game. Every single season, it would come down to the very last game, and it never mattered what the records were, what the pundits would say. It was going to be a tough contest that was going to have important implications for the bowl games. It wasn't a playoff series, then a bowl game. So I'll be darned if the Minnesota Gophers didn't beat the Wisconsin Badgers yesterday. Those pesky Gophers. They got the Paul Onion axe back in the state of Minnesota. I know. The game. You know, it's a serious rivalry that we have in the gospel, a real serious one. It's a rivalry of that which is sacred and profane, a rivalry of that which is godly and ungodly. And the charge against Jesus, the only charge that a Roman judge is likely to care, is that Jesus presents himself as a king. In all probability, Jesus can save his life by denying the charge. Does he deny it? He doesn't. You say I am a king. This is a Hebrew way of answering in the affirmative, just like we might hear someone say today, you say it. It's true, you said it. I didn't say it, you said it, so it's true. And then Jesus clarifies the sense or the meaning of which the charge is levied against him as true. Yes, he's a king, but we learn in the 18th chapter of John's Gospel, we learn that his kingdom is not of this world. What does that mean? Does that mean that his kingdom only will be realized in some different place or in some future time? No. In fact, the original language clearly says that that is not what it means. The original Greek reads, "My kingdom does not arise out of this world." Has to do with the establishment of the origin of God's kingdom. What Jesus means to say is that my kingdom does not arise out of this world. So that even in this world, even where I stand before you, Pilate, before you as I stand as a helpless prisoner, I do claim here and now that I am a king. And then Jesus goes on further to emphasize the truth of why he came. That he's come into the world for one express purpose, namely to testify to the truth. Boy, when we experience and when we understand the truth, it has such an irresistible power over us. And Jesus' exchange with Pilate, this is what's going on. It's as if Jesus is saying that there's no reason to fear an armed uprising against your Roman government. Oh, my servants, they're going to conquer the Roman Empire one day. They must, because the Roman Empire, it's founded on a religion that is a lie. Those who speak and live in the truth, always extend their sphere of influence. As the truth establishes itself more and more in the hearts of people, the lie crumbles. And so will it be with the pagan Roman Empire. It'll crumble too one day. Roman discipline, it's conquered the world by the force of arms. Christian discipline, it'll conquer the world by the compelling power of its own reasonableness and by the infectious influence which its divine origin guarantees. You know, over the centuries, the greatest victories of the church, they haven't taken place on historic battlefields or on the high seas. The greatest victories of the church, they have happened in the sphere of human conscience. That's where they've taken place. Christ reigns as king. not in the halls of Parliament or the councils of nations, but in the hearts of people. I mean, imagine if every country in the world suddenly professed the Catholic religion and set up religious signs everywhere so you'd see them everywhere you went, and maybe even gave special honors and privileges. Friends, that wouldn't be the reign of Christ established on earth. Christ will reign in the world only insofar as he rules human hearts. That's your heart and my heart. And the hearts of far too many people, including far too many baptized Christians, they're caught in the confluence of conflicting loyalties which seek to muzzle and mute the voice of conscience and produce ugly clash of class and culture. Christ comes first. Christ comes before the claim of party, before the claim of politic, before the claim of nationality. And the kingship of Christ that we boldly proclaim this weekend is the proclamation of Christian truth against a world that is on the point of going completely mad with self-serving political propaganda. Today, the Feast of Christ the King, it reminds every one of us, beginning with me, about the claim of God's presence and power upon human conscience that comes before everything and anything else.